Take your Bibles now, please, and we invite you to turn in God's Word to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, and I'll be reading the first few verses there. I ask the question, which is really the message title, will heaven be boring? Will heaven be boring? Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. John, the Revelator, on the Isle of Patmos, having had to leave his First Baptist Church in Ephesus, there he was, and he's writing, and God showed him some things. He said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Beloved, we can count on these words. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Will heaven be boring? Well, God has allowed John to give us just a little glimpse in places of heaven. There were times that people like Paul mentioned something about it. He said, he didn't know on one occasion whether he was in the body or out of the body. He's taken to the third heaven. We have the heaven right around us and the starry heaven. And then the third heaven, the abiding place of Almighty God and his throne. But Paul, when he got through seeing what he saw, he said, God had to give me a thorn in the flesh to keep me humble, to keep me from being proud of what I had seen and all that was involved in that. Probably if God revealed more than he has revealed about heaven to us, our focus would be so much on heaven, we might not be any earthly good. Heaven, though, is a wonderful place. He did tell us some things about it, and enough things to make us, though he maybe did not give us all the details, enough things to make us aware that it's a wonderful place. Now, there are a lot of misconceptions about heaven. And I've mentioned this to you before, but some people think we're going to be cloud potatoes and we're going to have a harp and float around on the cloud and sing on perfect pitch and all of that, and we're just going to keep doing that. Well, there are a lot of people that might think that, and maybe we've given them that impression, but that's about as exciting to an unsaved man as the electric chair, amen? That doesn't excite anybody to think about doing that. And even women dislike the idea of a perpetual worship service because we're going to worship him forever and ever, and we're going to be involved in that. We don't know all the details, but we do know the Bible talks about the fact that we're going to be in a worship service, worshiping the Lamb and the Father and all forever and ever. Reminds me of the little boy who he and his mother were standing in the foyer of their church, and they saw some names on the wall there, and the little boy asked, What are these names? And she said, These are the names of those who died in service. And the little boy said, Mama, was it the morning service or the evening service? Some of you might be feeling that way, but that's the concept that some people have, that we're going to just be in a boring worship service throughout all of eternity. But let me share with you just a few simple truths about heaven. And we'll talk about the assets of heaven being incalculable. And then the benefits of heaven being inexhaustible and the glories of heaven being incomparable. Let's think about the assets of heaven that are incalculable. In chapter 21, verse 9, he said in Revelation 21, 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." The bride, the Lamb's wife. John depicts a little bit of it for us right here. Now, I've seen a lot. I've been very privileged to travel, as some of you have, around the world. Been to a lot of places, seen a lot of great edifices and so on and so forth. I've seen some of the great sights of the world, some of the wonders of the world. I remember one time flying over the Matterhorn, the Swiss Alps. The Matterhorn goes up 692 feet in the air. Since 1865, all the way up until 1995, there have been 500 alpine climbers that have died on that mountain called the Matterhorn. It's a very impressive mountain. I've been to Niagara Falls and seen that, and my, that is impressive. If you've never been there, you ought to go. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to experience. I've been to Hawaii. I'd like to go again if anybody wants to pay our way. But we enjoyed going there. Our church gave us a 25th anniversary, sent my wife and I all expense paid to Hawaii. And I love to swim, so I got out and snorkeled some. And my, I saw the beauty under the water, the beautiful artistry of God. All of those fish, some of them, I don't know why he made them. They were uglier than me, but we saw all of those beautiful luminiferous fish and the coral reef, and some places it was just as blue down there as if you had taken a paintbrush and painted it. The wonder of God's creation, all of those things. I've been on the shores of the Pacific and fished, caught a sailfish out there. I couldn't afford to bring it back, or I'd put it in my office, probably pull the wall in. Well, they wanted $800 for that, and I said, fillet it and sell it and give it to somebody else. And I think Mike Patterson took it home with him. He's promised to give me some of it. He froze it, but I hadn't seen it yet. So if you see him, you might mention it to him. But I've seen the shores of the Atlantic, all of that. Listen, God made all of that. In 6 days, 7 days, he rested. Almighty God made all of that. Now, if he made all of that in that length of time, then what's he made for us in 2,000 plus years? He said, I'm going away to do what? To prepare a place for you. That is, those of us that are saved. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. Earth is not going to be destroyed, I don't think, totally. There will be a remaking of it, a paleogenesis. I believe the elements will melt, the atmosphere around it, and all of that with a fervent heat, because Peter has told us that. But there's so much more beyond this earth, so much more out there that only the telescopes and those things can tell us about. And they're telling us a little more about it. Sometimes I think that they just listen to the Bible. They already know some of those things. But you cannot see those things with the naked eye. And God has created all of this. Why? For our enjoyment as well as his. God didn't make all that stuff by accident or without any purpose behind it. No, we're going to be busy in eternity. We're not going to be bored. We're not going to be floating around like some couch potato or cloud potato. And I'm glad that God has given us this promise. If you've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you ruler over many things. What all that means, we perhaps do not know, but we know it's good. And I'm convinced of this, we will never, never run out of adventure in all of eternity. There will always be that new learning experience as we go through eternity. We'll never get tired of heaven. All eternity, wonderful eternity, is one great adventure in the service of the King, because we're going to serve him throughout eternity. People say, well, I don't know if I'll have fun in heaven. Listen, friend, take all the fun you've ever had in all of your life, compact it together, And I'll tell you, for the first 10 seconds you've been in heaven, you'll have more fun than you've had in all of your life. Heaven is going to be an adventuresome, wonderful, wonderful place. The assets are incalculable. And then the benefits are inexhaustible. They are inexhaustible. Chapter 21, verse 4, "And God shall wipe away..." I love these verses. I use them oftentimes at a graveside. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Passed away. There'll be no more sepulchres. Amen. No more death. No more place where you bury people. We have funerals and we have viewings at the close. Most people leave open the casket and people come by. And to many people, it's just the remains or the deceased. But to many of you, as you pass by, as we've all done, it's not just the deceased. It's mother. It's daddy. It's brother. It's sister. It's our son. It's our daughter. It's our little baby that died. It's our cousin. It's our best friend. It's somebody we know that has gone out into eternity. But I'm glad when we come by, we can think of the fact that someday there'll be no more death, no more sepulchres. It's never the most pleasant thing, even though we know there were the Lord. But when we pass by, it reminds us of something. It's saying something. Number one, we're all going to have to die. We're all going to pass that way unless the rapture takes place in our life. And not only that, we know that we experience a loss, and there's an emptiness, there's a vacuum. We've named a number of people today and others that recently lost loved ones. There's a vacuum there. There's an emptiness that only God can take care of. But one of these days, thank God, no more. No more sepulchres and no more sorrow, he says. There'll be no more grief. We grieve sometimes over things that happen in our life and over the loss of loved ones and many different things. But there'll be no more grieving in heaven. We'll never grieve again. I've seen people grieve. I've seen them wail when they got the news. I've seen them cry out in grief. There won't be any more of that. There will be no more suffering in heaven. Aren't you glad for that? One of the things that I dislike about the ministry in some cases is to have to observe people over a long period of time suffering. And there's a lot of suffering. Physical suffering, that's not the only kind. Sometimes you suffer because you lost your job. Sometimes you suffer because people have ruined your dreams and crushed your dreams and your marriage has gotten messed up. There's suffering. But listen, beloved, up there in heaven, we'll be busy. There'll be no more sepulchre. There'll be no more suffering. None of these things. There'll be no more searching. I'm glad that that's true. Look at verse 23. Verse 23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun." Can you imagine that? No need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. We'll always be learning. You say, "Well, I thought when I died I was going to know everything." Well, I used to think that too, but are you God? Only God knows everything. And I'm not God, and I won't be God when I have a glorified body. I'll know more than I know here, and He'll explain a lot. But I won't be God, but I'll tell you what, it will not be a grievous search up there in heaven for me to understand things and to know things, as God throughout all of eternity allows that to be, because He is the light and He's going to show us and He's going to let us know that. Now, I have some students that my assignments are sort of painful for them as they try to go out and keep those assignments and search for the information. Dr. Barber used to be one of the meanest and worst professors in the world. I've sat in his class, and he'd give us some assignments, and I'm not sure, Dr. Barber, I ever found some of them, and don't say it. I know you're not either. But at any rate, when we're in heaven, we won't have to do that. We'll just know God will tell us, and it'll all be all right. Why? Because the Lamb is the light. And then there'll be no more sinning. Verse 27, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Is your name in the Lamb's book of life? We're the only ones that are going to go there. I wouldn't want to go there in this body. This body is a sinful body. And I'd mess it up if I went to heaven in this body. And it's not going to happen. You know who I get the most irritated with? I get more irritated with myself than anybody else that I know of. I get so irritated with myself because I'm still in a sinful body. It's not so much what I do. Sometimes it's what I think about doing. It's the temptations. It's all of those things. I'm the pastor of a church. I'm the president of the Independent Baptist Fellowship International. I'm supposed to be some kind of leader. I am a Christian. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you that I'm human and I get tempted like everybody else. And yes, I hate to tell you, but sometimes I fail God. And as I said recently, don't try to figure it out. All of us have enough of failures that we know that we do. But I can tell you one thing. There are times I'd like to wring some people's necks, but I don't do it. Because I get tempted, but I'll be glad when the day comes when I don't want to do that. And some Baptists that I know, and they probably feel the same way. But you see, I have a sinful heart. Oh, I've been redeemed. Thank God for that. But Paul said in Romans 7:24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Who's going to deliver me from this body of death?" Ah, one day, glorious day, up in heaven, no more temptation. No more temptation. No more sin. Not this body. But thank God, a new body. There'll also be no more scourge. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God. Revelation 22:3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. Well, listen, we're going to be serving him, and there'll be no more scourge. There'll be no more curse. Now the ground's cursed. That's why some of you are looking at the weeds in your yard already. You're thinking about going to Lowe's, or we have some Home Depot people work there. Home Depot, and buy your products and put it on there. Why? Because of the curse and thorns. And we have animals that would like to kill you if they could kill you. Killer whales. Humans kill each other. Thank God one of these days, no more scourge, no more curse. It'll all be taken away. We'll be back like the Garden of Eden. Heaven's benefits are inexhaustible. Heaven's glories are incomparable. There are a lot of verses that remind us of that. But I want to tell you the most important thing in heaven is going to be the Lamb. The very Lamb of God. And he uses that term a number of times. Look at chapter 21, verse 9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." He talks about the Lamb. Then look at verse 14, where he says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." He's talking about Jesus, talking about the Lamb again. Look at verse 22 where he says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Chapter 22, verse 1, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Thank God for the Lamb. I believe that's the emphasis. That's where it really belongs. Now, all your life and my life since we've gotten saved, we've talked about Jesus. We've taught maybe about Jesus. We have preached. I have preached all these years. Dr. Barber and others have preached all these years about Jesus Christ. And what a privilege it is to do that, to talk about Him. God gave us the Holy Spirit. I'm glad He did. That is earnest money. That's the down payment on the great thing, the rest of it that's going to come one day. We're indwelled and sealed and kept by the Holy Spirit of God. And someday we're going to be there in heaven. But you know, even though the Holy Spirit speaks to me in a still small voice in my spirit, I cannot see Him. Even though He leads me day by day, I cannot see Him. But one day, I will see Him. One day, we're going to see the Lamb of God. One day, we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do, I think we'll cast our crowns at His feet throughout all of eternity and forever. Here, we're just pilgrims. We're just seeking a city whose maker is God Almighty. It's not made by man, whose builder and maker is God. Here we have a tent, but those tents decay, don't they? Our bodies, whatever we have, but there we're going to have a building not made with hands, a glorified body like the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have losses and we weep, but there be no tears, no sorrow. They will be gone forever, and we will be filled with heaven's adrenaline of all of eternity to serve God. Here we run uphill with the wind in our face. There we will not. We'll have all energy throughout eternity. Here we are despised and ridiculed, but there the King of Kings will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," the great King of Kings. And here we have earth that has warfare. There, thank God, we will finally have peace. And the United Nations will not bring it in. It will be Jesus Christ. Here we are frightened. There we are favored. Here we are thirsty and hungry. There we'll have the river of God and the tree of life for all of eternity. Samuel Stinnett wrote a beautiful song. And in the song he wrote these words: "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie." The last verse says, "When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my father's face and in his bosom rest?" And the chorus says, "I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land." Are you? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you thankful today for the prospect of heaven? Are we rehearsing a little bit? Acting like it, living like it, serving like it, doing it? We might as well get used to it. We're going to do it for all of eternity. Why not serve Him now? Why not give now? Why not understand that what He's doing and allows in our life now is not hurting us, but it's to draw us closer to Him? Why not live a holy life for Him now? And why not get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Let's stand, please.